I was truly blessed, and I really want to thank all those who contributed to that effort. I understand that the Amundsen family is prepared with a song, so while you're getting yourselves together and coming up here, I'll keep talking. No, I won't keep talking. I guess they're going to prepare. Well, I'll sing one song as they're sort of gathering themselves up to hear. It's on page 90. And this is what I felt from the youngsters today, is that they were just ministering love to us. And it's on page 90. It's called Love, Wonderful Love. Can you see? We can stand.
Difference not always a bad thing. You know, the Lord's been dealing with us on a fairly deep level, I feel. And he's been, it's like my wife was saying, we're getting some real inner scrubbing going on. And and I think we're all feeling that. And a few months back, the Lord was speaking to me a little bit about that, and he put it to me a little differently. You know, sometimes we go through things, and we all do, and we deal with them in our way that we're able. But what he kind of mentioned to me about is, and since I'm kind of music inclined, he talked about maybe a new set of heartstrings. And so we're not sure if the fiddle's out of tune, but you know, we get opportunity as a family that I feel pretty privileged about to give the same message that we've been getting this week, in a way, in that, you know, we don't have to settle for the humdrum of life. That God has for us in hand a life that is, you know, beyond our experience so far. Yeah. And, you know, it's surprising how many can identify with that. And they know that's the case, and they just don't know always what to do about it or where to go to get it. And this song talks a little bit about that. And it we're such a privileged people to be given such clear direction, such clear tools, as it were, to do the thing that God has asked us to do. And now he's asking us to go out and do it. So this is called Brand New Set of Heartstrings.
Please do that.
You can sing with me. Right.
Just play
you're
it.
Not going to leave me.
Oh. Wait a minute. We can sing into this one. Okay. Standing up here by myself. If I could have just 5 or 10 of the young people, that's the 13 and over group, to come and join me on the stage and have a ministry in singing, I'd appreciate it. It's on page 123. And the line in this song that I want to make sure that we get to or we understand is that we can stand fast, that means stand strong, unmovable, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. And after last night, and Andy so vividly brought this to truth, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Don't go back to that yoke. So we are going to stand fast in the liberty that he has allowed us to enter into as he's delivered many from those yokes of bondage. And you're going to listen to beautiful voices as I step back.
Inheritance on fading, O land, Lord, help.
We've had many victories this week.
Yes.
Let's rejoice in them. Let's give thanks unto him. Victory in Jesus.
173.
Sorry. I heard an old story, how a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about
victory, we need the
Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.
Since Jesus came my way, He opened my eyes to see. He purchased my liberty from sin.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Praise God. You can be seated. Thanks, guys. And girls. Richard, if you could come and... We have a couple of prayer requests. Well, we actually have a praise report and a prayer request. Hi. It's been such a joyful night. I'll do the praise request, okay? Yeah. We would like to thank everyone for their prayers. Kim, Brian, Brooklyn, and Scott are all back to feeling their normal selves. Praise God. Mark and Luke Tyler from Winkler. Amen.
This request is for Philip Sample. He has had a total of 11 bypasses over the years. He has diabetes and now has pulmonary fibrosis, which is crystallizing of the lungs. He's on oxygen full time. He has been in and out of the hospital numerous times over the last year and almost died a few times. He's lost feeling in his feet, muscle in his legs, and falls a lot. Please pray that he will be healed. I don't want to lose my grandpa. Can we stand? We'll just stand together with this. Father, we come before you tonight. We come before the one who knows no defeat. The one, Father, who has opened every door. And we walk through those doors today. Father, we don't look back. We look forward to what you have said and what there is for us to enter into. And we just pray tonight, Father, as we stand together with Philip, that the hand of the Lord would just reach out and touch him and surround him, Father, with your love and with your life, we pray. Let these things, Father, begin to loose their hold upon him, we pray. Let there be a turning of these things that have been so difficult, Father, and so overwhelming in a person's life. For Father, you have overcome, and therefore we can overcome. Let your hand be upon him tonight, we pray. In Jesus' name we ask.
Amen. You can be seated.
Well, you see, if you kept singing, you wouldn't have to listen to this. Just keep rejoicing. The Lord has been very good to us over the past few days. We've just felt, you know, every time we get together, I think we just take another step up. I don't know, there's something about body ministry that just lifts us up. Amen? Amen?
Amen.
You know, I told you before, I'm used to the Africans. When you say amen, they say amen. One more time. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. That's right. I'll just read a few scriptures and I won't keep you long tonight. But the thing that's kind of been on my heart and the way that the Lord seems to be speaking to us is about his love toward us. I'd just like to read some of those scriptures. We are surrounded by his love. You know, sometimes we feel that he's somewhere afar off. He is not afar off. We are surrounded by his presence and by his love. Amen?
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
Amen. I'll just read some scriptures. Maybe just before that, I just say this. This is the way that it kind of seemed to come into my heart about the Lord's love for us. I remember many years ago now, but when our first child was about to be born, we'd been married a few years, and my wife was expecting our first baby to be born. And there was a lot of preparation. It's good for us guys that we have wives that know what's kind of going on, because there was bedrooms to be painted, there was baby clothes to be bought, there was blankets to be bought, diapers, you name it. We had to buy it, get ready for this little one to come. But the thought that just came to mind in all of that preparation, when that little one was finally arrived and was born into our home, she was surrounded by love. Every act of the parents was based on love. Every act. Painting those bedroom walls and folding those blankets. Every part of that was based on love. And that little one was just born into that environment of love. And that is the way that the Spirit of the Lord is receiving us into His presence. Sometimes I think maybe we're a little hard on ourselves. You know, we can be a little judgmental of ourselves. When in actual fact, He is just receiving us into His home, and we are surrounded by His love. In John 3:16, I know some of these are familiar scriptures. It says, I'll read from the Phillips translation. For God loved the world. And I think of that when he says, God loved the world. I kind of think of that as his whole creation. You know, those of you who like to be in the outdoors, I just love to look across the lake and the rocks and the trees. And lots of times I've just said, you know, thank you, Father, for the work that you have done here. Magnificent. Just magnificent. And he loves his creation, of which we are a part. God loved the world so much that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes on him should not be lost, but should have eternal life. You must understand that God has not sent his Son into the world to pass sentence upon it, but to save it. He didn't come to judge. He didn't come to find fault. He came to save it. And just read this in John 12:47. And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. For I came not to judge the world.
Thank you.
I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. That was his whole purpose. He saw the state of his creation, and he sent his only Son for the sole purpose to save it. Not to come and find fault or to judge or anything like that. His sole purpose was to save it. Any man who believes in him is not judged at all. You accept Christ into your life, and there is no judgment upon you at all. That judgment has been just taken off. It is the one who will not believe who stands already condemned. The Lord has, you know, this without Christ, this will just be judged of the Lord. It is the one who will not believe who stands already condemned, because he will not believe in the character of God's only Son. I've kind of thought of that as like a prison house. You know, Brian visits the prisons and sees the circumstances, the conditions there. It's like walking into the prison with a key and unlocking all the doors, and whoever wants to can just walk out, because the one who unlocked the door is going to take the penalty. And if you choose not to walk out, there's no judgment. You know what I mean? That judgment is already there. But you can just arise and walk out and be free. In Matthew 22:36-40, it says, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? So I think these were the scribes and Pharisees that were talking to Jesus. And they kind of a technical question here. You know, what of all of the commandments, which is the most important? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, that thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. That is the whole basis of all the things that the Lord has set before us. It's based on our love for Him and our love for one another. Amen? Boy, that was really weak. Amen? That's important. Amen. You know, I really believe that we are feeling the Lord moving us in that direction, along the line of love for one another in particular. I don't know. I don't know if you feel like that. It just feels like that love for one another is just growing deeper and stronger. You have to work at it. I mean, you have to, like you, anything else, you have to go out of your way to say, you know, nice to see you. I'm glad to see you here. And open those doors. But He's looking for that. If we want commandments to follow His commandments, there it is, right there. You love the Lord. You love the person that's sitting beside you. Amen. That was a little better. We're going to have to bring some Africans over here, I think. Now, this is Deuteronomy 10 and 12. And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee? But to fear the Lord thy God, have respect, to walk in His ways, and to love Him, and serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul. Amen. That's not difficult. That is not a high bar. The Lord has just opened the way for us to just embrace what He has set before us. First John 4 and 8. He that loveth not knoweth not God. You know, if that's not in our heart, we're missing it. For God is love. The very essence of who He is love. Hebrews 12 and 6. For whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom He receiveth. We go through experiences in our life that we don't always think are good. The Lord brings things into our life. And I've said this, and maybe you have, you know, or at least thought this. I don't think I really deserve that, you know. You're walking along, everything's going good, and then all of a sudden something will come into your life that is maybe a little unexpected, something a little bit negative. But the Lord is working out something of value in us. And if we walk in His love, He's going to see to it that we learn to walk right. Amen? Amen. Amen. We're going to learn to walk right. You look at a family where the children are walking carefully and obedient, and there is a family that is has the love of the parents at work there. You look at a family that kids are just going here and there and everywhere and no control, and there's neglect. That is neglect. But let the Spirit of the Lord be in our life as we learn to walk with Him, and He will correct us when we get off the beaten path, when He says go here and we go there. I don't know why it's like that. You know, when you're raising children, there's something in there that kind of, you tell them to go here, next thing you know they're over here, and you have to bring them back. I think it's teaching moments, but there are those things, and I think in our own life there are some of that still there. And as we are learning to walk with the Lord, He will bring us back to the right path. And if He keeps bringing us back, He may use a little firmer hand so that we remember the next time. But He wants this household to walk right. He has said, this is the way that is right. These are the things that are right to do. And when we kind of wander a little bit, He will bring us back to the path. And that's what He's saying. If He loves you, you love Him, don't be surprised to feel His correction. Amen? Yeah, well, that's a little softer, amen, but I understand that. For whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth. And Mark 12, 30, 31. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, that thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. In our homes and in the environment of our homes, the parents kind of express their love towards their children. They kind of show the children how much they care. And we expect some reciprocation. We expect there to be some response back. You know, it's nice to come up and, especially now at grandpa age, and have these little ones come up and give you a hug. I mean, that's a good thing. That's a good thing. The Lord is also looking for that relationship with us. And we reciprocate His love. We show Him back His love like this. John 14 says, "If you love me, keep my commandments." If the Lord has opened your heart to His ways, and we walk in them, that is our expression to Him of our love towards Him. Amen? Not so difficult. Not so difficult. But He wants to see us embrace the things that He has set before us. He wants us to walk in them. Very simple. If you love me, keep my commandments. In John 15:9-17, "As the Father hath loved me, so I have loved you. Continue you in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love. Even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love." Jesus has set the example. He said, you know, you're going to have to learn to walk like I had to learn to walk. My Father laid out for me the way that I was to walk, and I walked in them. You're going to have to do the same. If you want to walk in the place where the love of the Lord is in your life, you're going to have to walk the same way. "I have kept my Father's commandment and abide in His love. These things I have spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, than you lay down than a man lay down his life for his friends." And you know that in reading that kind of sounds a little bit heavy. You know, Christ laid down his life for us. He physically laid down his life for us. But I think there's an aspect of us laying down our life for one another. We all have a place. The Lord has set us in the body and set us in our place in the body to minister. We minister to one another. As you yield to the Spirit and let the Spirit minister through you to the body, you are ministering to one another. That does not happen by accident. Amen? We don't just walk through the door and just ready to minister to one another. There is a preparation. If you are going to be effective in the place where the Lord has set you, you are going to have to dedicate yourself and commit yourself to that. You are going to have to set aside time in your busy world, in your busy life, to be able to do that. And that kind of means laying aside some of the things that you might prefer to do in order that you can come and feed and minister to one another. Amen?
Amen.
That is one aspect of laying down our life. You know, the world that we live in today is just fills your head with pleasure and entertainment. All you need is money and time and have fun and have a good time. That is not the path that we are on. That is not our path. The Lord wants us to separate ourselves, to walk before Him as He has called us. It is a dedication. It's a giving up of our own will to be able to walk in the things that He has called us to walk in. It is in a sense dying to ourselves so that we can feed one another and minister to one another. Amen. I think that's at least one aspect of what the Lord is referring to in those scriptures about laying down our life for one another. That's totally contrary to the age that we live in today. The age of today is to live life to the full for your own benefit and forget whatever else is going on. Just have a good time. The Lord has called us in the midst of all of that. He's called us apart. He's separated us out. He said, I want you to walk this way. I have paid a price for you. You have been bought with a price. I want you to walk. You have an opportunity to walk in his household, to be raised as his sons and daughters. And I want you to walk in this household in the way that is according to my will. I want your life to have purpose. I want you to fit into this body and be an effective ministry in this body. We are fed and ministered to how? How are we ministered to? By that which every joint supplies. Can we just say that together? By that which every joint supplies. Who are these joints? They're right here. They're right here. And it's by what every joint supplies. That's the way the body edifies itself. And that does not come by accident. That comes by dedication. It comes by some self-sacrifice. Setting aside things that we may prefer to do in order that we might be effective in the thing that the Lord has placed, the responsibility that the Lord has placed upon each one of us to be able to minister and to feed one another. What happens when we are properly fed and when we are properly partake of the things that the Lord has for us? We are strong. We are strong in the Lord. We are not weak. We grow. We mature. We become able to do the work that is before us because the hand of the Lord is able to work in us and through us. This body is knit together as a single unit, every part in its place, and every part feeding and nurturing and ministering to one another. We need one another. We absolutely need one another. We are interdependent. And the Lord is raising up his household to walk just like that before him. He has set the pattern for his body. We have the choice. He can call you. He can open the door to you. You can hear his voice. You can understand where he's leading. But we have to accept it. We have to accept that responsibility. Stand and walk in it. You can hear his voice and stand still and not enter in. And you will not be a participant in the tremendous thing that is before us. We are in an hour today. We are in an hour. I don't think we have any idea the lateness of the hour that we are in. That is both positive and it is both... there's a negative aspect. The things of this present age are passing away. They will not remain. The things that the Spirit of the Lord is establishing will arise. They will come into its fullness. There is no force on earth that will even slow that process. It cannot be deterred. It cannot be prevented. It cannot be overcome. There is nothing, there is no force in heaven and earth that will prevent what is before us today. But for us as individuals to participate in that, we must lay down our life, stand up, and walk with him. Amen? Amen. It is a solemn hour. It is a solemn responsibility. It's a tremendous opportunity. And the door is open. Jesus Christ opened that door. He was the one that walked through the prison house with the key, just unlocked the doors and said, you're free to go. You just walk here. We want to be free to go. We want to walk where he's leading. We want to abide in his presence. We want to come as we gather together. We might be four or five in a local church and life flows. That four or five group is insurmountable. Nothing can overcome it. You might not feel all that strong in yourself. That has nothing to do with it. The hand of the Lord will determine the outcome. The Spirit of the Lord will tear down the stronghold. His hand will overcome what needs to be overcome. What is required of us is to lay aside those things of our own doing and be faithful to His calling. Amen? Amen. Pretty weak. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. That's better. It is a tremendous hour. It is a tremendous hour. Ye are my friends. Let's see, where was I? This is John 15:9. I think. Yeah, 15:9 of verse 14. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what the Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father have I made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. That was not your choice. The Lord called you. I was not so smart that I figured it out. I needed to be over here and do this. I had no idea. But there was a voice that kind of said, you know, maybe it was your ministry. You know, as you spoke what the Lord put on your heart, my heart was influenced by that. Because it was the word of the Lord. It came out of your lips, but it was the word of the Lord. And it changed. It made a change. And I began to walk in those things and desire those things. And that's what he said. You didn't figure that out and decide, well, you know, I think I'll try that. It was not that. He called you. He saw you. He saw you locked in the prison. He knew what your destiny was. He knew what your destiny was, and he just came and unlocked the door. He said, you follow me. You follow me out of this prison house. I have a kingdom set before you. Forget the prison house. I have a kingdom prepared for you. And there is nothing that will prevent you from entering into that. You just walk softly before me. You hear my voice. You pay attention to that, and you walk in it. And there is nothing that can overcome you. You will stand victorious, and you will enter in. You will possess, and you will know what it is to walk and to be administrators of His kingdom. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. That is the hour that we are in. And do you think the enemy of our soul is pleased to see these things coming together? Never. Do you think our battle is perhaps getting a little more intense? Perhaps. The hour is crucial. The day is important. Our walk is vital. The weapons of our warfare are capable of tearing down the stronghold of the enemy. You know, we prayed for this prayer request today. You know, I don't know how to phrase this, but those things should be as nothing to us. Amen? The Lord has already overcome them. All He is asking for us is to walk in it. Lay hold of the things that He has made available to you. Walk responsibly as His son and daughter. Lay hold of those things and enter into them and possess them. We are learning how to exercise the gifts that the Lord has put within our hands. And it is important that we learn how to use those things the way that they are supposed to be used. They are powerful for the tearing down of the strongholds of the enemy. I won't be long here tonight, but just let me just say a couple more things. If we think that perhaps we bring a talent or skill or ability for the Lord that He needs, that isn't true. He has given us talents and abilities that He can take and anoint and use. That is true. But I'm not sure how to say this. I have no plan. I have no great talent that the Lord is just kind of waiting that he can take that and accomplish something with it. That I've got something that the Lord really needs to accomplish his purpose, and I'm just going to bring it for him. That's not true. What I do have is a vessel that can be yielded. But the truth or the fact of the matter is that he is the head. He is the head of the body. And his ability flows from the head out through the members of the body. He is our enablement. He will take those talents that we have, whether it's music, and we see that amongst us. He will take those things and anoint them so that they are used for his purpose. But he is the head. And the thought I just leave with you tonight, that we are recognized by our head. You know, we kind of know in the natural that, you know, if somebody were just, you see somebody's hand, you would have no clue who that was. But you see their head, you see their face, you know, you recognize them by their head, by their face. And it's kind of like that in the spirit. You recognize the person by who has headship in their life. I'll just give you a little example. This is a few years back, maybe 5-6 years ago. We had a series of meetings in a part of Africa. I think it was in Tanzania. And we had some meetings. And we had a brother from the Congo come and visit. He was invited to attend these meetings. We'd met him before. I think he was an elder in one of the local churches in the Congo. But we had never been in the Congo before. We'd never been in the DRC. But this brother came and he was with us. And he said, you know, you really need to come back into the Congo. We weren't particularly looking for more places to travel. But we said, okay, we'll go with you. If it kind of works out, we'll go with you. So he went back home to his home in the Congo. And I was the only one available at the time. And I didn't know this brother very well. And I flew into Burundi. Brian will know some of these, and some of you brethren that have been there will know these places. But I flew into Bujumbura in Burundi, and it borders, it's right on the border with the Congo. So this brother, we met in Bujumbura at the airport. And then in Africa, it's very typical that you'll have a border, like the border of Burundi will be here, and there'll be maybe a kilometer, and then there'll be the border of the Congo. And it's kind of like a no man's land in between the two borders, because often there's often conflict. And, you know, you just kind of keep this space between the two borders so it doesn't just rise up quickly. So it's kind of a no man's land, but you can't drive through there. You can only walk. So we had our luggage, and it's about a kilometer. And we were walking from Burundi into the DRC. We got to the middle of that walk, and the brother just said, like, he spoke French and Swahili and some of his local dialects. I spoke English. I took French in school. Our communications were very, very limited. I was trying to get a few French words out, and we were wishing that someone like Marjorie was with us, but... get a few French words out, and he'd kind of figure out what one another was saying. But we got to the middle of this no man's land, and he just said, you know, stop. We want to just stop here. I want to pray for the DRC. Before we go in, I want for us to pray for his country. And so he prayed. And when he prayed, I recognized the head. I knew who his head was. It was exactly the same head that you and I have. And that's how we are recognized. Not by our talents, not by our ability to speak, not by our outward appearances or our programs. We are recognized by our head. And another member of the body will recognize that. I know that. You know, they'll look right past your talents. They'll say, I know that. I recognize that. We're walking the same road. And it just kind of sealed that for us. We went into the Congo, and if you ever get the chance, that's a good place to visit. If you like off-roading, You're like driving through grass so tall that you can see nothing beside you or ahead of you. And this, you hope the driver knows where he's going because he's just kind of going like this. And amazingly, we arrive at the destination. I have no idea how they do this, but it is actually a wonderful experience. And then to fellowship in the local churches with brothers and sisters that we have never met before, and you are one body. You are one body. Brian knows about that. Amen? Amen. You are one body. Different in every other way. Absolutely different in every other way. No language, no culture, no physical amenities. Everything is different, except we are absolutely one in the Spirit. Amen? That's important. That's important for us. As you walk the way that the Lord has set before you, you'll be recognized by your head. If Jesus Christ is your head, that will be recognized. Amen? I'll say this about headship. And there's a parallel here, I guess, with marriage. Because it's the same order. The order of the church is very similar to the order of the home. And in the order of the home, there is an order to the home. There is a right pattern for our homes. The Lord has set it out. The husband, the father, is set as the head of the home. That doesn't mean that he is to be waited on hand and foot. He has an office that the Lord has and a responsibility that the Lord has placed upon him. The wife who is joined together with her husband, they walk together. He accepts the responsibility of headship, and she submits not so much to the man, but to Christ in that home, and recognizing that headship that has been set there, and she submits to that. And as they walk together in that order, the man accepting the responsibility for the welfare of the home, and the wife submitting to that authority, there is unity there. The Lord will bless that order. That the man, and this is something that just seemed to come to mind kind of recently, and I think it's right, but a man cannot take headship by force. The only way a man can be the head of his home is for the wife to submit. If a man tries to take headship by force, it becomes servitude. There's no unity in servitude. But if the wife, by the grace of God, I'm very thankful for the way the Lord has allowed this order to come about. We feel, us men, I think we don't feel very worthy sometimes of the burden that the Lord has placed upon us. But if the woman will honor that headship and submit to it, they will come together in perfect unity. They will share that headship together for the home, for the welfare of the home. And I remember the first time when we were married, not too many months, and I felt, you know, kind of on the learning curve here about marriage, but I felt we should do something, and I don't even remember what it was. It probably wasn't all that important, but the fact was that my wife disagreed. I knew what her opinion was. But I said, you know, Marie, I think we ought to do that. And she said to me, you know, Richard, if that's what you think we should do, then that's what we'll do. She could not have put a greater burden on my shoulders when she said that. The thing that totally crossed my mind is, if this woman is going to submit, I better be right. I better lead this household in the right way. That is the order of the home. That is the order of the church. Jesus Christ is our head. He has accepted that responsibility. Our role is to submit. And if he will not take submission by force. Just like in our homes, a husband cannot take that by force. It has to be given to him. He will be the head, of the church as we submit, as we willingly submit to him. We then set him as the head of the body. And that body comes together. We share in that headship. That body comes together into perfect order. There is unity. The Lord will not bless a home where it's master and servitude in husband and wife relationship. That is not the order of the home. The Lord will not bless that. The Lord will bless the household when it's in proper order. The Lord will bless his household when we walk in the order that he has set. When Jesus Christ is ahead and we walk in submission, he is not taking it from us by force. He is just laying out for us the way. And we are saying, if that's the way, we'll walk in it. We agree to walk in it. Amen?
Amen.
That's still pretty weak, isn't it? Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Sounds like we're on the same page. And John 5 and 19, then answered Jesus and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. There's a headship relationship there. No, his heavenly Father, the God of all the earth, is the head over everything, over Christ, and he submits to that. So whatsoever, you know, when he went to the cross, that was contrary to his will. That was a struggle. He knew what that meant. It was more than just the suffering. He was about to bear the sin. He was about to be separated from his Father by sin, because he bore all of that upon him. He said, if that's possible, let it pass. I don't think we have any idea the struggle that he went through there. He said, if it's possible, let it pass. Nevertheless, thy will be done. As we are being led, let us walk like that. There is the example. Nevertheless, thy will be done. John 5 and 30, Jesus saying this again, I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge. My judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father, which has sent me. That's true for us. We walk that same road. We have nothing to bring. You might be super talented, but unless Jesus Christ is anointing that, it's of no value. I mean, that's the plain truth. He walked the same way with his Father. He said, I do what my Father see, what I see my Father do. That's where I walk. What he sets before me, that's what I do. I don't do anything of myself. We walk that same road. Ephesians 5, 30-33, for we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you, so in particular, so love his wife. There you hear this, fellas. So love his wife. That's the bond. Even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. She's not even required to love you, you know. She just has to respect you. But I think they throw the other in a little bit too, so that's good. I'll just say in closing here, I think this is about as far as we'll go, but well, this last time we were in Mwanza, Brother Calvin was helping, well, he was taking the oversight of doing the financial training in East Africa to try to help to get these fellows being accountable for their spending and keeping good track of funds. So we were in Mwanza in the hotel there, and there's quite a number of us, these brethren from across Africa. And we were in there, and when we were in the hotel, there was like an empty lot between us, and there was a hospital on the lot across from us. And when we were there, there was a construction project going on. This is an African construction project. It's not like a North American construction project. This is manual labor. So we could see out our window when we were having lunch. We could see this work going on. I don't know. Wayne probably has a better idea, but I think there was probably 30, 40, maybe more workmen there with shovels and picks in the heat, shoveling in this huge mounds of dirt. And they worked from morning till, from dawn till dark, shoveling this dirt. And it looked like absolute chaos. There's all these guys, everybody's got a shovel and a pick, and they're digging and throwing dirt, and this was going on. It looked like absolute chaos. And we would come back every day, and as the days progressed, and as the time went on, we could start to see some order coming out of this chaos. It was unbelievable. I mean, it seemed like everybody was just kind of doing his own thing, and order started to come out of this. All of a sudden, we recognize what's happening here. Some footings are going in. There's some columns going to be going up. They're getting ready to pour concrete. And by the time we left, it was a different picture. The thought that just crossed my mind when we were watching these fellows work, we were sitting in the air-conditioned side of the window, which was quite a bit nicer. But as we were watching these fellows work, that every man out there working was working in submission to the headship that was over him. And it was that headship that knew what the work was to be done. All they had to know was what they were required to do and be faithful to that, be obedient to that headship, submit to that headship. And as they worked, that big structure started to come together. They might have had no idea how their bit of the work fit into the overall picture. They didn't have to know that. They had to know what the headship was telling them because the headship knew. They knew. Somewhere there was architectural drawings laid out. They were going according to a construction plan. They were following a pattern. That was a work of man, but it was like it was absolutely a finished work. Everything had been figured out. There was no guesswork going on here. Here's what you do there. This is what you do there. This is the material used. Everything had been decided. Now as it unfolded, the workmen just had to submit to that and just work in that place. And it's a little bit like that. The Lord doesn't necessarily just pull back the curtain and say, okay, now you figure out what you should do here. This is what I'm trying to do. You guys should figure out what to do. We have no ability to do that. He just said, you just listen to the leading of the Spirit. You let the Spirit of the Lord guide your life. You be obedient to that. You submit to that. You submit to the authority that the Lord has set over his body. You little ones, submit to the authority that has been set in the home. And you are building something that will never be destroyed. It will remain forever. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Lord bless you. I don't know if there's announcements.
Sorry, if we're going to sing that song, we have to sing it a little bit faster than that. So can we sing it again, and can we speed up the tempo, please? Yeah, and stand, thank you.
How shall the conquer be a stranger?
will go directly from here. They'll go get changed and prepare for mosquitoes. They will then head out to campfire, and we'll have a ton of fellowship and some snacks out there. And that is on the agenda for young people this evening.
Can I get 13 deacons who will be here tomorrow for service that are able to serve communion to come up here right now? 13, please. This is for tomorrow. If you're going to be here tomorrow, for rest and sit down for a minute. 13 deacons, please. Looks like we're going to need a little help. Get some elders or some few other guys to help us tomorrow. Three more, please. Travis, can you join us? I need one more yet. There we go. Thank you. And we're just going to talk a little bit after service here. And we'll just get everybody to rise and we'll close in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we just thank you, O Lord, that we're able to gather together and just to be able to enter into your presence, to hear the words that you have for us. And we just pray that your anointing would be upon us as we go about our ways this evening, and just help us to continue to walk in your presence and all.